Again, we're just glad you're here today to celebrate with us. And so let me take a few minutes here and share some thoughts about Easter with you. Since it's Easter, that's a good thing to talk about, right? You know, a few years ago, actually more than a few years ago, I took Barbara to see the Phantom of the Opera in Seattle, you know, down the opera, and I at the opera house, and I loved the music. I mean, I just love the music. I still love the music, and it's not uncommon for me periodically when I'm studying or something just to have the music on, you know, kind of low in the background, the music of the Phantom of the Opera. I don't know why. It's just something, just I love it. But I have to be honest, watching the opera that day, I had no idea what was going on. I could not figure out the storyline. I could not figure out, like, who this actress was and who that actress was, actor was. I just couldn't figure it out. I'm like, what's going on here, you know? And couldn't tell. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. And I, you know, had to ask Barbara about it, and, you know, she tried to tell me a little bit about what was going on afterwards, and by then, I was so confused that I still couldn't figure out, you know, what it was all about. And then in 2004, and some of you have seen it, but 2004, a movie came out of The Phantom of the Opera, and I watched it, and I go, I get it. I mean, it just, all of it made sense to me. I could go, oh, I get it now. This is amazing, amazing story. And then, you know, not that long ago on my runs, I downloaded from the library The Phantom of the Opera, the original, you know, novel from 1914, I think it is, and listened to it. And what I found was interesting is the novel was totally different than the opera, which was totally different than the movie. And I go, and there's so much more in the book. But I don't know that I would have been able to understand the book if I hadn't seen the movie. And I couldn't understand the opera until I saw the movie. Everybody with me? So there's just like, you know, I think it's all of us have those moments where we're like, what in the world is going on? And, you know, recently Rocky, our son-in-law, showed me this Seinfeld, monologue. And it goes like this. Now, I'm not Seinfeld. It's probably not going to be funny, but it paints the picture, okay? And he says this. This is Seinfeld. He says, this is an embarrassing thing to have to admit, but I'm the guy in the parking lot after the movie going, oh, that was the same guy from the beginning. Have you had those kind of moments? You just can't, like, what is going on here? And then he goes on, and he says, and no one wants to explain it to you in the movie theater. Like, shh, shh. So I left whispering. So you're left whispering, why did they just kill that guy? He says, I thought he was with them. Oh, he wasn't with them? Well, it's a good thing they killed him then. It's like we have those moments where there's this something happening and we can't connect all the dots. We can't all put all the pieces together. And I think oftentimes that's what happens with God's story. Because it's a big story. It's a long story. It's got all kinds of twists and turns and, you know, things where you go, really? I had no idea that was in. And it's complex and you know, there's these unbelievable kinds of things that are in it. And you know, sometimes people go, you know, I should read the Bible. So they decide, I'm gonna read the Bible. So they pick up in Genesis, and they start reading through Genesis, and they get about halfway through, and then just like, I can't follow this anymore. And especially then when they get into Leviticus and, you know, some of those, and are like, this guy begat that guy, and they try to read it, and it's like, I have no idea what's going on. And what most people do is what? Give up. They just get like, I have no idea what's going on. I don't get it at all. And so just lost in it. So what I want to do today is I want to do a little walk through the story of the scriptures from Genesis clear to Jesus. Now, it's a long thing, so I'm not, yeah, Bill looks at his watch like, really? You're going to do that in 30 minutes here? You're going to do that? So it's going to be an abridged version. Okay, it's going to be abridged, but it'll get you the salient highlight points is what it'll get you. And I want you to think about it as that we're going, just in regards to as if this was a play or a movie or an opera. Think about it that way, as opposed to something written in a book. And so if you just go with me. You know, so God creates everything. You know, that's where the whole thing starts. God creates everything. You know, he creates the universe. Then he creates galaxies like our galaxy that's on this, you know, edge of the universe. And you know, out in the middle of nowhere, which is traveling through space at unbelievable time. You know, and he creates the moon and he creates the sun. And eventually he creates the planet Earth, which we live on. And so he creates the planet. And the planet is filled with the most beautiful kinds of things. I don't know about you, but I'm continually mesmerized by the things there are in creation. So let me just give you a few pictures here. So he creates flowers like this, the passion flower. It's just unbelievable. And then he creates things like this, the Venus flytrap. You know, one time one of my boys, Kyle, got a Venus flytrap to use for a science project to see, does it really catch flies? And it really does catch flies. You know, just like that, and the fly's gone. Or the dogwood tree. I mean, those are just unbelievable. Dogwood trees. And then he creates things like this. Go ahead and go to the next one. And then go to the next one. And then go to the next one. I mean, just all of these amazing things that's been created. Some of you know that because I talked about it, I don't know, last week or week before. We went to Hawaii just recently. First time we'd ever been there. Went with our son and his wife and kids. And the first morning, we, you know, landed in the afternoon or evening, went to the house we were staying at. And the next morning, got up, ran out, did a morning run out to this cove with a breakwater. And we're out there. And there were 30 sea turtles out in this cove. They're in the tide pools. They're in the waves. I mean, the wave would come and you'd see. I mean, just, it's mesmerizing, the things on this planet. They're mesmerizing. And yet, the pinnacle, after God does all of those things, the pinnacle of creation was God creates Adam and Eve. And he puts them in this garden. And he gives them one thing. He says, you know, I want you to take care of the garden, but there's one thing you can't do. Don't eat of the fruit from that tree, because if you do, you will die. They could eat anything they wanted. They could do anything they wanted. They ran around without clothes on. You know, it's like, it was like anything and everything was permissible, except don't eat of that tree. Well, today, as I go through this, I want you to think about just a little bit different than the fruit. I want you to think about it in regards to pens, okay? So God says to Adam and Eve, says, you can write your story using any pen you want. You can use a big old fat pen. You can use a pointy pen. You can just use a regular old ink pen. You can use a highlighter if you want. You can use any one of them you want to write your story. And you just write your life however you want to write it. You can make that choice. You can make that choice. You can make that choice. But there is one pen you don't touch and you don't use. Because it's my pen. This is God talking. It's my pen that I'm going to write the story with. This is a special pen to me because Gene had it made a few years ago. I don't even know how long ago. Maybe 7, 8 years ago, 10 years ago. And it's made out of an antler. And Gene said, this pen is for you, but there's one condition in this pen. So he actually gave me a gift with a condition. Can you believe it? I don't even know if you can call it a gift if someone gives you something with a condition on it. But Gene said, here's the condition. When you use that pen, I want you to pray for me and my family. And to this day, when I use the pen, I pray for Gene and Carolyn. Now, I don't use this pen all that often, because I don't want to lose it. I lost it one time, and I was in panic, trying to figure out, did someone steal it? You know, what, because I've had things disappear from my office, and so like, did somebody steal it? And I finally found it. One day I was doing, this is during COVID, I was doing a counseling appointment with someone, and I was meeting out in the hallway out there in one of those leather chairs, and I dropped a pin in one of the leather chairs, and I reached down between the cushion, and there was Dean's pin. I found it. I don't even know what happened the rest of the counseling appointment. Because I was so happy I had found that pen. So God said to Adam and Eve, you can write your story with any pen you want and any way you want, but you can't use my pen, because that's the pen I'm going to use to write history with. I'm going to write his story. I'm going to write people's story. Is everybody with me? He says, I don't want you touching that pen. I don't want you using that pen. But lo and behold, we all know what Adam and Eve did, is the serpent comes along and he says to them, and he's there to interrupt God's story. And he says to them, he says, you can use God's pen. You don't have to leave God's pen alone. You can use it. He just doesn't want you. He wants to control the story. He doesn't want you controlling it. You're not going to die. Just grab God's pen and use it. So what did Adam and Eve do? They grabbed God's pen and they said, you know what? We're going to write our own story. Thank you, God. And they began to try to write their own story. The problem was, is they started to write their own story, and they started, you know, it's like God wants to hog the spotlight, and God wants to be in charge, and God wants to tell us how it's going to go, and, you know, I think I'm going to do this myself. Thank you. The problem is, as they began, they took that pen, and they began to write their own story from the forbidden pen. And they begin this long journey of people controlling their own stories. They began this long journey of the human race, of people, you know, kind of saying, God, thank you, but no thank you. I think I'll write my own story. And they just get busy writing their own story. And paradise was shattered. They decided, again, it wasn't going to be God's story. It's going to be their story. And it was kind of one of those, you know, with Adam and Eve, it was kind of one of those, if you've ever seen them, where you get a novel and then you choose your own adventure. Like you read through part of it and then say, if you want to do this, you'll go to page 67. If you want to do that, and you get to page 67, and then after you're reading 67, now you can go to what, page 119? You guys, everybody, you know what I'm talking about? Choose your own. It became, I mean, they were all out, do your own adventure. That's what they were on. And it went ugly really fast. You know, the writing, they ended up outside the garden of God's blessing. It was a wild world, and these are some of the things, because humans became hell-bent on writing the story and starring in the story. And next thing you know, these are the things: jealousy and hatred and vengeance and loneliness and shame and death and murder and betrayal and villains and victims and lust and power and broken families and pain. It's like life just went out of control. And everybody was reeling from the consequences of life out of control. Everyone was reeling from the consequences of Adam and Eve saying, let me use the pen. And they just began to write how they wanted the story to go. They wanted to figure out how it was going to go. And every person that's been born since then has been grabbing that forbidden pen and trying to write their own story. I mean, you know, we have 5 kids, and then we have a bunch of grandkids, and some of our grandkids are living with us right now, and we all know how the story goes. I mean, they'll say things like, no. You ever had someone say that to you? No. Maybe a timeout. I don't do this because I did it with my kids. You bet I did. But with my grandkids, I let my daughter and her husband parent the kids. But you say no, and they go, I'm doing it anyway. Well, you want a timeout? No. Well, then do it. No. Well, you want a timeout? And ever since Adam and Eve, the Bible talks about Adam being what's called, referred to him as the first Adam. So I'm going to make a play today. I'm using the writing, but also the first Adam and the final Adam, or the last Adam. So follow with me here, these two ideas. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. He says, just as everyone dies because all belong to Adam. So I was hoping this would work differently. Somebody said, oh, you got your ducks in a row. I was hoping this would work differently, but here's how it works. Here's me and you. And we're inside our parents, who were inside the grandparents, the great-grandparents, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all the way back to Adam. So if you put them all together, again, I was hoping it would work differently, but you start putting them all together, and they're all nesting inside. Everybody get the picture? That's why the scriptures use this idea that in Adam, death somehow visited all of us. In Adam, we all grabbed the pen to try and write our own story. Because in Adam, we are all, in essence, nestled inside of Adam. And, you know, we come, you know, this whole reality is, you know, God tries to get back and take the story over. But we demand that we write our own story. God says, hey, Joe, will you just let me in? You know, Joe, let me in. We go, thanks. No thanks. I think I'll write my own story. And then something doesn't turn out the way we want it to go. And what do? We get mad at God. We got the pen and we're writing our own story. And when the story doesn't go the way we want the story to go, we get mad at God because the story's not working the way the story we had hoped would work. Everybody with me? That's the human race. And it doesn't matter whether you're from here or from China or Iran or you're from Papua New Guinea. It doesn't matter. It's the same around the world. I could give the same exact teaching, minus maybe the nesting dolls, maybe minus that, in places like Central Africa. And they get it. Because it's the human experience. We all try and somehow keep God out of our story. So then God's finally, it's like the story has gone so sideways. God says, this is actually what it says, my paraphrase, but it says God got to the place where he's like, why did I start this story anyway? And he says, I'm going to start all over again. And he sends a flood to try and start the whole thing over again. And there's this, you know, the scriptures tell in the story that there's only 8 people that survived the flood. And he's going to repopulate, he's going to restart the whole story. But those 8 people, they don't let God write the story. They grab the pen and write their own story. And next thing you know, it's chaos again. And then the people are all gathered together and they decide they're going to build this big old tower. And they're going to build it up to the sky and they build a monster tower. And God goes, this is not good. This is not good. People writing their own story. So God comes down and he just tears the tower down, destroys the tower. And over and over and over again, down through time, you know, at one point in their history, they said, you know what, God, you know, God's trying to be their king. And they go, we don't want you as our king. We want another king. We want a man king. We want a king like all of the other nations have. That's the kind of king we want. And God says, you don't want a king like that. And they say, yeah, we do want a king like that. No, you don't. And they arm wrestled with God, and ultimately God let them win, and God gave them a king, and it was chaos from day one. Again, the story just went sideways. It was so ugly. And the stories of the kings, the stories of the various kings down through time, it was, you know, just ugly and messy, one failure after another. I mean, there's things like lust and violence and deceit and adultery and murder and assassination and coups. I mean, just on and on they go. And God, through that, he continually sends, if you just think about it in regards to a writer or a screenplay writer, he sends his agents to try and say, you know, let me get back into writing this story. Let me be involved in writing the story. And the agents and the people say to the agents, thanks, no thanks. We want to write our own story. And even though the story they have written is total chaos, they want to continue to write their own story. And ultimately, they're so frustrated by the agents who would come along. We would call them prophets. But these agents who would come along and they would say, let God back into the story. Drop the pen. Let God pick up the pen. Let God write the story. And the people said no, and then they killed them. One by one, they would kill the prophets because they didn't like the message about God wanting to write the story. They wanted to write their own story. They wanted to be in charge of their own destiny and their own future. And so they just got so mad that they ultimately kill one prophet after another, one agent after another. And he says to them, he says, if you keep doing this, there's nations that are going to overcome you. I mean, they're going to take you into captivity. You're going to be prisoners of war. It is going to be the destruction of this nation. if you don't let me back in to write the story. But they don't let God back in. And finally, after 400 years of silence, from Malachi to what we understand as the story of Jesus, for 400 years, God didn't send him any warnings. He didn't send him any agents. God was silent during that time. And then it says, when the time was right, God sent not an agent, but he sent his son. And even though he sent his son, humanity still kept slamming the door in God's face. So Jesus comes to this planet not as an agent, but as the son of the writer to say, this is my final attempt to get back into writing the story of people's lives and of humanity and of the human race. Let me in. But they didn't let him in. And Jesus is actually referred to as the final Adam. So there was the first Adam that started all of this. And then Jesus comes, he's called the final Adam, the last Adam. It's kind of God's last attempt to get into the story. It's God's last attempt to try and say, let me write the story. Everybody with me? Here's what the Apostle John said. He said he came, talking about Jesus, he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. He came to his own people, and they said, no, thank you. I want to write my own story. I want to determine how this thing goes. I want to determine how this thing ends. And so Jesus, was born, spent 30 years, and then what we understand is the last 3 years of his life traveling around as a rabbi. And on Good Friday, the children of the first Adam put to death the final Adam. That's what ended up happening. The children of the first Adam, all of these children, put to death the final Adam. It's like, that's the end of the story. That's where the story ends. Now we're free to write our own story for as long as we want to write our story, because he's gone. Not the agent's not gone, not the prophet, but the son of the writer, he's gone. We can write our own story. But we know that's not the end of the story. The Apostle Peter said it this way in one of the first teachings he ever gave. He said, listen, God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of the lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and you killed him. But again, that's not the end of the story. If that's where it ended, then it's a sad ending. If that's where it ended, then every one of us have freedom to write with God's pen. But it goes on. Peter goes on. He says, but God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. And God flipped the script. God flipped the story. He goes up to this point from the fall, from the Garden of Eden, all the way till now. People have had a hold of the pen. But now I have made a way through the Son. I have made a way that I can begin to write the stories of people's lives. And 2,000 years ago, till today, day after day after day, week after week, on one continent after another continent, in one corner of a village somewhere, or the 27th floor of a high rise, people have surrendered and have said, you know what, God, I'm done trying to write my own story. And they've given God back the pen and said, God, write my story. And God God brings them into this grand story he's doing, this grand event. And the first Adam gave birth to death. The second Adam, or the final Adam, gave birth to eternal life. See, the story's not going to end. When they put me in the grave, which hopefully is a while from now, but when they put me in the grave, the story doesn't end there. The story doesn't end at that moment. The story continues through eternity. I mean, even a person who says, I don't believe all that, you know, the Adam and Eve stuff, all that hooey stuff, you know. But when someone they love dies, one of the first things they say is, he's in a better place right now. I mean, just almost, I can't even tell you how many hundreds of funerals I've done. I mean, and gravesides and memorials and so on. And everybody says they're in a better place right now. Because everyone holds to the hope that the story doesn't end when life ends on this planet. That there's a continuation of the story. And if you, now let's take the, now not to be sacrilegious here, but let's take this not as Adam, but let's take this as Jesus. Because every one of us are nestled inside of, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're nestled in Jesus. That's where the Bible talks about in Jesus or in Christ. Or we say when we pray, some of you know this from, you know, your church background, someone will end a prayer and they'll say, in Jesus' name. What are they saying? They're saying we're in Jesus. And the story doesn't end when they put me in the grave. The story doesn't end there. If you're nestled in Jesus. If you're nestled in Jesus. And for 2,000 years, people all over the world, day by day, one by one, have put down the pen, given it back to God, and say, God, I want you to write my story. I want you to write my story. Here's what Paul said. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Anyone who belongs to Christ will become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. So I look over at Greg and Gloria, and I don't know, 30 years ago or so, they walked into an Easter Sunday morning, just like you did today. And they came, I'm telling their story, but they would tell you the same story. They came to get some people off their back who kept inviting them to church. So maybe if we go to Easter, they'll quit bugging me about going to church. You know, I was like, let's just bite the bullet and do it. And they bit the bullet. But that morning, they as a family handed over the pen to Jesus and said, put me in your grand story. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Jimmy and Katie, that same Easter Sunday, did the same thing. See, every one of us have to make a decision at some point in our life to say, I'm going to stop writing my story. I want God to write my story. And does it mean that God's story is not going to have pain? No. Does it mean it's not going to have heartache? No. Does it mean it's not going to be a roller coaster at times? No. But the difference is God is always with us in the midst of the story being written. That's the promise God gives, is through all the twists and turns and the ups and downs of life, if you let me write in the story, I will take you through the story. Even to the place where Paul said this great promise. He said, all things work together for the good of those who love me and called according to my purpose. He says, there's things that'll happen. There's cancer. There's death. There's houses that burn down. There's just all kinds of things that can happen. But God's promise, if you're letting him write the story, he says, I will walk through that story with you. And the end is going to be amazing. So, I don't know a whole bunch of you. You know, I know a bunch of you, but I don't know a whole bunch of you. But I want to challenge those of you that walked in the room today, still holding on to your pen, God's pen, to surrender it today. just to say, God, I've been trying to write this story and it is not going well, or it's going well but it's empty. And then you just put the pen down. You hand it back to God and say, God, write your story. Write your story in my life. Write your story. And sometimes, you know what happens is, you know, someone's had a little experience with God, or years of experience with God even, and then something happens, and they make the same decision that Adam and Eve made in the garden, and they say, you know what, I think I want the pen back. And it's just the way God is, that God says, okay, you can have the pen back. And then they write some more of their story. But so often, the story still doesn't go the direction they want. And so maybe that's your case today. Maybe at some point, you grab the pen back. But I'm going to write my own story, God. But it's never too late to just, again, reach out and say, God, write your story. Hand him back the pen. Is everybody with me? Let's bow our heads. I'm going to lead in a simple prayer. And it's a prayer of handing the pen back to God. That's what it's a prayer of. It's not the whole thing about serving Jesus. It's not the whole thing about God having his way with you. But it's the beginning of surrendering the pen and letting God write your story. So I'd encourage you, if today God's tugging at your heart, you feel this queasiness inside like, he's talking about me. I want to encourage you, just quietly between you and God, to pray this kind of a prayer. You'd say, Father, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you've not given up on me. Thank you that you want to continue to write your story in my life. So right now, I make the choice and I hand the pen back to you. Forgive me for writing the story the way I've written it. Forgive me at times for taking the pen back. But again, today, I take this pen and I hand it back to you and say, God, have your way. Have your way. Write your story in my life. Write your story in my family's life. I want you to write your story. Say amen. 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 You know, if you prayed that prayer, it's very important that you tell someone. The Bible says we believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and then we confess it. We tell someone else about it. So if you came today with someone, or you just came by yourself, you can email me. You can text me. My stuff's in the bulletin. But that you would tell someone and say, you know what? I handed my pen over to God today again, or I handed my pen over to God for the first time. And God will begin to write the story. God will begin to write the story. Lord, you know who prayed that prayer this morning, here in the room as well as online. Lord, they handed the pen back to you. And I pray you do something so powerful this week in their life, so demonstrative, that they would know that they know that they know that you have begun to write the story again. Those that came in with guilt and shame, wash the guilt and shame away. Those that came in feeling hopeless and helpless, breathe hope and bring help into their lives. Lord, those that came with sadness, as the prophet Isaiah said, restore or replace their sadness with joy. Write your story in our lives. Thank you for what you're going to do. Amen. Let's stand together. These guys are going to lead us in a closing song. Thank you for joining us today. If you don't have a church on South Whidbey or South Whidbeyite, you don't have a church on South Whidbey, we'd love to have you join us regularly. And again, if you're visiting from somewhere else, go back, okay? Go back home. Go back to wherever that place is. But if you don't have a home church, if you don't have a home church on South Whitby, we'd love to have you. And if you're a snowbird and you're gone part of the year, but then you're here part of the year, we want you here. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. These guys are going to lead us in a song.